And St. Peter proclaims, "It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In light of the tragedy that has struck, though not here personally at Emmanuel, but closely to those who are, there is really no better way to remember and celebrate this day of Pentecost, because than to do what the Holy Spirit was given to do, because Christ Jesus was given to this world for such a time as this. For you see, contrary to what it passes for often in the name of the Holy Spirit by many in the church, he really has no work outside of the Son. That his one and entire purpose is to take everything that Jesus has said, done, and promised, and to hand them, to preach them, to give them over to you. In a bit of hyperbole, one of my seminary professors stated on his podcast this week that the Holy Spirit is a plagiarist, meaning that the Holy Spirit comes up with nothing new. He simply takes what he has heard and he speaks it to the world. That's what Jesus says in his final sermon to we heard today. And John preached to his little church in those final hours of Good Friday before his garden arrest and Golgotha death. And so Jesus says, the Helper, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, whom the Son will send, who proceeds from the Father, will bear witness about me. He does not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he speaks, and as he speaks, he will glorify me, Jesus says, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, the Spirit has nothing original to say. He isn't doing anything to draw attention to himself. He remains in the background, off the stage, we might say, so that the spotlight alone shines on the Son. We might say that the Holy Spirit is one big fat mouth, saying and doing nothing but to make sure that you not only are told about, but finally given the Son. Jesus, who was given by the Father to die and to rise for the salvation of the world. So the Spirit comes up with nothing new. He has never developed any new ideas. He keeps reading the same script and speaking the well-worn dialogue. Just as you read your favorite book time and again and watch your favorite movie over and over. And as he does such, he is doing one thing as he's handing Jesus over. Jesus says he's convicting now the world. Convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Because this is what happens in this fallen world when one speaks of Jesus Christ crucified and raised. Because Jesus is the linchpin of not only history but life itself. That's why the first thing that his preaching does is convict the world of sin. Because you see, sin is not the wrong things that we do. Sin is first and foremost the wrong one we are believing in. That's what condemns us. That's what it means to be born with the weight of original sin upon us. For when we replace the creation for the Creator, we are now convicted of sin because we do not have faith in the Creator, Jesus. What we mean when we say faith alone saves, because anything outside of faith in Christ is condemnation. That's why Israel, when they were crying out to God in the days of Ezekiel, said, "Our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are indeed cut off," because they had been carried off into exile to Babylon. They ended up there because they had trusted in their strength and power over the God who had promised to be the God of their cause. This is why the next thing the world is convicted of is righteousness. Because if we have our faith in the wrong place, then we will be looking for it in the wrong place as well. For you see, not even the good and holy law of God helps you in your righteousness. Look how Luke addressed the crowd on that first Pentecost, saying that there was dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from all nations. That they were there because of their commitment to the law of Israel. For the festival of Pentecost was the remembrance of the giving of the law at Sinai 50 days after Passover. But that does not save them. Peter said it himself as we continue on in the sermon from Acts. Save yourselves, he said, from this crooked generation, indicating that if you want to have righteousness before God, it must come from the one and only place that it is found. And that is in Jesus Christ. And so Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That as faith alone saves you, so faith in Christ brings you His righteousness. As Paul makes clear in 2 Corinthians 5. And that's why when the Holy Spirit was given, the judgment you see has already taken place now. That the end of the world judgment is not something we're waiting for at a mysterious time in the future. For the judgment happens when Christ shows up at your door, or in your ear, we might say. For if you are found convicted by a sin of having a lack of righteousness, well, then you are judged as the ruler of this world is judged. Jesus, of course, is talking about Satan, the devil, Lucifer, who is found ruling this world under corruption that is set upon destroying everything the Creator has done. They are judged because Christ alone now has become the curse. He was made to be sin so that those who are called to faith, those who do believe, who call in the name of the Lord, are now saved, forgiven, redeemed, righteous. This is that amazing grace we just sang about. It's grace because it's given to you, pure and an unadulterated gift for the sake of the Son. And that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. It's to bring that first hymn we sang, so that you may know that Jesus loves you. Because the Father who is calling you to Himself is bringing the Son to you. In a way, we might say that He is here fulfilling Ezekiel's vision as we now speak and sit. For as Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, so all who come and cling to Him alone for your hope find life and it abundant and eternal, even as you might be suffering from the trials and tribulations this old age delivers. That is why this past Thursday, what took place also in Bondwell just a couple of weeks ago, when it reared its ugly head in our little piece of the world, it makes us do nothing but hang our own heads, letting out exasperated sighs. Because we know that this is not right. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. We feel like 6th century BC Israel. Our bones do feel dry up. Our hope often seems lost. And we feel so cut off from even at the minimum what is normal. But we're not left alone. You see, when the Father and the Son when the Father and the Son gave the Spirit 50 days after His triumph over the grave. See, you are not left without hope at all, even when the darkness is there. Because you are still receiving the work of the Spirit, taking the Son and giving Him to you. over your head, in your ears, upon your tongue. Word and sacrament, we would say. And so I have, in the stead and voice of your Savior, declared that his Good Friday work has been bestowed upon you today. As you heard me say that you are absolved from your sins, you now have been washed clean in the waters of your baptisms. You have had the Spirit drilled into your ear and himself planting himself so that these words that he inspired men to write might flood you with a faith that clings white-knuckled to the hope it brings. And then when you will be called to come forth to take your place at the heavenly table, you will be called to kneel so you might refeast upon your Savior who gave the body and blood he broke and shed to this world in desperate need of the salvation that he is. And which is why, as I address my two confirmands before me, while I have your attention, I want words that all of us need to hear. You see, as I emphasize these last 2 years we've been together, there is a reason, and we have felt it this week, of why you need to be remain right here in these pews after this day. For as you have both come to know, there are times when life doesn't make any sense, when the darkness seems to be brighter than the light of the sun, when it gets very hard to figure out a way to speak into the silence. But this is what today is about. And not even your confirmation, but Pentecost. For this reminds me that you are not alone. We are not left fending for ourselves, but this God who created and saved you will make sure that you will be sustained until that final day arrives and everything that we live in hope today will be brought to sight and placed before us. And that's what the Holy Spirit has been doing in your lives up to this date. By bringing you in the word and sacraments, not only the work, but the person of the Son, he is preparing you for that day when, as God told Ezekiel, he will open your own graves and raise you from your grave because you are his people. And that is why, as we learned in the Creed, you have and are brought to this very place. For it is in the divine service that we find the Holy Spirit accomplishing in you the work begun that first Pentecost. As he brings you to this place where your Savior is given to you for the forgiveness of your sins, the deliverance from death and the devil, and an everlasting life that lasts for eternity. And this is why you need to remain here. For when this world and all of its pain, heartache, and tears seek to steal away your peace, it is only here where you will continue to find yourself reminded that you are held by the grace of your triune God. The God who created you, who saved you, who sustains you forevermore, holding you so that now nothing can strip away your God from you. Because he, as we have it on our altar, is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He who is and was and will ever will be. And so now my final words to you as your catechesis. Because after today, I will speak only to you as your pastor. Let your coming here be a common occurrence. Because this will be the only place in all of the world where you will find the word that gives you the anchor in which to hold fast to this faith that you will soon confess before the world. Because it is here where you and all of us are washed anew under the waters of our baptism, given a forgiveness that keeps us steady against the winds of destruction that blows our ways. And it is also here that you will find people, these people, Turn around. These people who will help and support you when it gets hard to stand in the face of whatever storms you find during your days. Because it is here where you will find the comfort and the strength to stand. Because it's here and only here where you will find the Holy Spirit working within you. Not only by the word, but now especially after today, the very body and blood of your Savior. And this is why we can say the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is and will keep your hearts and your minds in and upon Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.